Well, it is Monday morning, and as I said, there's a number of things going on this week. So let's get right to it with Charlie Herman. He's economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. And your word this week is actually a phrase, right?
It's hardest for last.
Saving the hardest for last.
Like the debt.
Right. Okay. Next with us always also is Jason Stallman. He's the national news editor for our partner, The New York Times. And Jason, your word is?
My word is food.
I wish that you were talking about like chicken cordon bleu,
no,
but I have a feeling that's not what you're talking about. Let's get right to the first food item on the menu, and that is the shrimping season in the Gulf Coast.
If you see all the shrimp, you got to throw them back over. Go somewhere else. That's all you can do. And you hope everybody else does the same.
So, Jason, today is the beginning of the shrimping season in Louisiana. At the same time, they're getting ready to complete the first of two relief wells on the Gulf Coast that could be operational by this week. So what are we expecting from the fishermen and the shrimpers out of the Gulf Coast?
I think it's a really big question right now because I'm not sure that all the shrimpers down in that region are convinced that the oil still won't be a problem. I think they're really eager to get out in the water. Now, keep in mind, this is the fall inshore shrimping season that runs into December. And I think when the shrimpers get their trawlers out there, they're really eager to see whether the oil is still a problem. The last thing they want is to pull shrimp out of the Gulf and have it end up on the plate of someone in California or Missouri, and they get sick.
Right. And one shrimp, they've all said, one shrimp with oil,
it's
you have to toss the whole batch.
You have to toss the whole batch. One shrimp with oil that makes it onto someone's plate throughout the country, that could be the end of
disaster.
The industry.
Well, here's another reason that perhaps your word for the week is food, and that is beets. A U.S. judge ordered a ban on growing genetically modified beets until the Department of Agriculture has fully investigated the environmental impact of these genetically modified food. Number one, why is it so important, this decision?
Right. This is a type of story that could easily fly under the radar until it kind of comes back to bite us. This is a major industry. Sugar beets produce more than half the sugar that we use in the United States, and suddenly a massive part of the crop is being shut down.
How massive?
Over 90% of the country's supply uses these seeds that are produced by the Monsanto company. They're genetically modified, and also it has possibly more far-reaching effects. Soybeans, corns, cotton, they also use a similar genetic modification that if challenged, we could see them being pulled as well.
So that's kind of something that we're going to have to keep our eyes on. But one something that everyone seems to be keeping their eyes on is the economy. And, I found it interesting, Charlie, that people were talking about the deficit, and it turns out the largest single chunk of our deficit right now is those Bush tax cuts that are coming up for reconsideration. Let me play you a clip from the former New Jersey governor, John Corzine. He was speaking on This Week with Christiane Amanpour.
I think the issue about making sure that the expiring tax cuts that are actually on the table at the end of this year, that needs to get addressed, and it needs to get addressed relatively quickly because that does create uncertainty while that is yet to be resolved.
How important are these expiring tax cuts going to be as we go into the midterm elections and even after?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, the fact that this is being discussed right now, Congress isn't even in session. There's a lot of talk about what exactly is going to be done with these tax cuts, whether or not they will be extended. This Thursday, the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan office,
right,
will be releasing its updated outlook on the economy as well as on the debt and the deficit. And what we've been seeing is from some other groups is that if they were to extend the tax cuts, that could add about $36 billion to the federal deficit next year.
The single largest portion of the deficit, right?
Is it?
Depends on your math. Yeah,
it depends on your math, and
that's
part of what the debate is right now. I mean, that right now the CBO has sort of two estimates for the economy. One looks at if you go years ahead and you let the tax cuts expire plus several other programs, you still have debt equaling about 80% of the gross national product, the gross domestic product.
Right.
But if you let those tax cuts go forward only by 2020, just about 10 years from now, the debt will equal about 90%. And by 2035, it'll go to 180%.
Holy cow.
There are a lot of things at stake here with the tax cuts, whether or not they should be extended or not. Republicans would argue extend the tax cuts, but you need to cut other programs. Whether or not that happens would be very difficult.
Yeah, especially going into a midterm election, which was what I want to ask you about, Jason. The president's going to be talking about the economy as part of his campaign tour. He's going to be in Florida, Wisconsin, Washington, and Ohio. And I wanted to play for you actually a cut from Karen Tumulty. She's the national political correspondent for The Washington Post. And here she is speaking on Face the Nation.
People are very worried about the economy, and not just how they're feeling about the economy now, but what they see going forward. And unless people feel like it's getting better, the Democrats are going to have a problem this fall.
I find it interesting that she says people feel like it's getting better rather than it actually getting better.
Right. And I think the key here is that throughout the country, you see this, you see different communities in different points along that line economically. Some areas do feel like they're on the rebound.
Well, this woman we just had on the air, Miami, who has started a business, she says she's doing great.
Right. So, as the president covers a lot of ground this week, between now and Thursday when he leaves for his family vacation in Martha's Vineyard, he's going to be in basically all four corners of the country, and each community is a little bit different economically, so it would be interesting to see if he crafts his message that way.
If his message changes as he goes around. But let's talk about somebody else coming out of Washington, and that's our Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner. He and the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development are going to be leading this conference on housing financing. Are we expecting any kind of major changes in policy here?
Eventually. I think that something needs to be done with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are the two mortgage financing companies, which basically, in conjunction with the Federal Housing Administration, which Sean Donovan, the HUD secretary, oversees, really they were responsible for about 96% of all the financing for mortgages last year. I mean, basically, the government is financing the mortgage industry. There needs to be some sort of fix to this, because this is not sustainable to have the government basically providing this sort of financing. And Jason was talking about how the economy is different in different parts of the country. It really is sort of in part reflecting on real estate being very much local. Real estate continues to be a problem for this administration to find a way to deal with, to get housing to start really rebounding. Right now, it's government supported.
How important is this? Is the economic issue going to be in the upcoming elections?
What's interesting is that 2 years out from where it was the central issue in 2008, I think again this will become one of, if not the main issue, going into the 2010 election. In part because it's so different in so many parts of the country, and it's something that you can argue tax cuts are going to spur the economy, or ending the tax cuts will spur the economy forward. Housing. Really, everything, I think, revolves around the economy right now.
And yet, Jason, I've read polls that say most Americans still blame the Bush administration for the economy. You see that changing before November?
We have, about 10 weeks left, so I think a lot can change.
Really?
I think whatever polling numbers you're seeing right now are going to be, could potentially be wildly different in 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, I can't imagine, however, the unemployment rate being wildly different in 6 to 8 weeks. Jason Stallman's the national news editor for our partner, the New York Times. His word for the week, food, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for both The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. His phrase for the week, hardest for last. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.